correct? There was some, I think there was some agreement that maybe he could run in here. If you chose to use him, just be careful with the pace line. Just don't go jumping back and forth and excusing really bad races. Four, I think. I think we had four serious contenders based on the guidelines we're using and an analysis of class, with a possible fifth in the case of Wiley. If you decided that Lance Mannis or Seize the Chance was really a strong choice in here, Wiley could easily be part of an exacta play here. All right. Everybody, Bob?
Works after 60, roughly a 60-day layoff, or is it after 40? At what point do you...
Off of any layoff, because you better look at the works even after a 40-day layoff, 35-day layoff. The works ought to be... I mean, if a horse has been off 35 days or so with one workout, just be suspicious. Oh, the last race? Oh, you got to be out around 50 or 60 days, sure. The question was, when do you start looking at the last race as not being part of the contender selection process? When a horse has been off 50 days, 60 days, I mean, the horse has obviously been freshened for a while, and you probably have a little different horse that did that. At the 35-day level or so, that's just a little beyond what we were hoping to see in terms of recency, right? So at 35, 37 days, make sure that last race counts, because that horse hasn't been anywhere except on the training track. Any other questions here? Yeah, I'm talking claiming races, but the same, we're going to talk more about allowance races at the next session, because they are a little different, that's for sure. They take care. There's a horse called Yes, I'm Blue that ran yesterday. That was one, we looked at that race because somebody wanted to do that. It was a feature race on Friday. It was Friday. But we looked at it yesterday. And somebody said, well, you know, look at Yes, I'm Blue. Look at his last race. How come he took 2 months to get back? The answer to that is that this is a horse that was running in the Santa Anita Derby preps a year ago. He was in the San Miguel. He was in the San Rafael. He was in the San Felipe. He was all of those races. It's a very highly regarded horse. So off of a long layoff, they brought him back, and he ran 21-2, 44-2. 44-1 over at Santa Anita on a very dull racetrack. Then he almost held on, ran third, beating three-quarters of a length, right? Then they took a month and a half, 2.5 months to get him back. And a claiming horse, you'd say, my God, that's horrible. Why did they take that time? They had him ready, ran him, couldn't bring him back. On this kind of horse, though, you look at it and say, God, this horse is worth a lot of money. He's very highly regarded. They're not going to run him until he's perfect. And then he ran 108-4 the other day. But that's different. I mean, it's a much different analysis on quality horses than it is on some of these. All these are is for you to take some money to the bank. That's all these are. You claim them and you're trying to make some money on them, have some fun. So you run them as often as you can. And you run them when they're hurting. You know, you do. I mean, that's what happens to the claiming horses. Most of them are hurting, and hopefully they're racing sound. You're trying to get them to run as often as you can. With these quality horses, that's different. There might be a lot down the road for them, so you take very good care of them. Any other questions? Jay?
Can I ask a question on the profile, the track profile?
Sure. Track profile.
Okay, track profile. Question is, at Hollywood Park, they have it a mile 16, mile 8, and mile 4 old, that's bothering me. They run them both out of the chute and out of the stretch. They start in both places. Should we keep them? My own personal thought, I've been keeping them separate, you know, separate figures because the percent median and the high internal coverage is such. Do you recommend that, or does it make any difference?
The question is, at Hollywood Park, turf races are run some out of a chute, some out with a stretch start. I would keep separate data on both of them, yes. Okay, that question came up earlier, but it was too early to answer that. I would keep separate data on both of them because the track, if you watch them, the early pace numbers on those two types of races will be dramatically different. And as a result, the percent median especially will vary between the two races. Bring an up-to-date profile with you to the next one. Okay, so we can just start with that. Pay attention to what's happening to that one-turn race bias. See if it's gone away, because we'll talk about it. See if it's still there, if it's gone away. If it's gone away, we won't concern ourselves with it any longer. The faster it goes away, the better, because then it doesn't get into the handicapping. Those are those two things. For those of you that have the Scott book or have access to it, read the material in the Scott book about close-up and contenders and the last race running line. And then forget a lot of the other things, like losing ground down the stretch and some of those things. Forget about that. But please read that. How Will Your Horse Run Today? It was his second book. And it's very good in a lot of areas. Quirin's book, Thoroughbred Handicapping State of the Art. Questions? All right, that takes care of the session. Everybody be careful driving home, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Good morning. Everybody breathe deeply. We're going to have the air conditioning works, the heat works. So if you want it warmer, just let us know. If you want colder, let us know. Anything you want. In the 2 weeks between the first session and this session, I hope all of you did what Chuck Saylor did, which is to verify and validate everything that Tom told you on a racing form, instead of just hearing it and then letting it drop. Do what he did. And my friend Wayne Fulkerson from Seattle is down here staying in a hotel for the entire series and trying to make his hotel room and his expenses by going to the track and doing fairly well so far. And he and I have gone over the races, and we've especially noted everything that Tom's talked about because he's kept a beautiful set of notes. Now, how many of you have experienced more winners in the past few weeks because you were throwing out false favors? Good. That's what you're supposed to do. The essence of this series is to take you back to the basics of handicapping. That's why we've not mentioned computers and how to enter this and how to enter that. We just want the basics. And the biggest thing we've learned is the suspicious class drop. Wayne and I probably, I know we had not, well, if you count yesterday, we had 11 races we won in 2 weeks. And of course, we couldn't handicap last weekend, we were all here, but we did yesterday. 11 races we won that we would not have won had we put those horses in the computer. Now, that's a pretty good deal for whatever we paid. I didn't pay anything. So I really got the most out of it. Now, yesterday we had another good example. There was a race, the second race, in which you had the horse, if you'd have put the horses that Tom said qualified and one that was he said was marginal into the computer, the best you would have got the winner would have been third. And most of you eschew third choices, even though he was paying fairly well. Tom said, flatly, pass this race. Well, most of you, putting that race into the computer, would have had the winner no better than third, would not have played it, and you would have lost the race. So what he did was, he didn't win a race for you, but he saved you from losing a race, and that is just as important as winning a race. If you pass the kinds of races that your computer's not going to get the winner, under the ordinary computer program at least, you would, it's like another win. So all this information he's going to give you now again today, coupled with last 2 weeks ago, should get you the contenders who are really live, who really belong in the computer, and get you more winners. But the most important thing it's done, from my observation with Wayne, is it eliminates horses that will clutter up your computer and confuse the issue. If you eliminate those horses, your computer programs, depending on which one you're using, degree of sophistication of the program will then get you the winners just a tremendously high amount of the time by doing the one thing that most of us have failed to recognize in the past, and I hope through this series we'll be able to finally achieve, which is biting that bullet and throwing out these false favorites. Now, another thing that Tom has not really talked too much about, but it's one of his favorite subjects, and it will come within the three-week structure, is turn time deficiencies. Turn time deficiencies are far more important to Tom than third fraction deficiencies, because turn time deficiencies really mean that the horse will not run the projected third fraction. And a turn time move by another horse, an outstanding turn time move, will keep the other contenders from running their projected third fraction. So if you couple turn time deficiencies and class deficiencies, and that wonderful thing that he's brought to us, the suspicious class drop. If you eliminate horses just on those three alone, even if you didn't even go beyond that, you would have, as we had, 11 more winners in 21 races, or in, pardon me, in 42 races. We've had 11 more winners in 42 races, which is 5.5 winners more a week. And anybody who can't make a living if they had 5.5 more winners a week than they're getting now, well, then they need remedial training. So, just don't listen, just don't take notes, but get your racing forms out and practice from back forms and all through the week on the things he's talking about. Do as Chuck Saylor did. If you want to talk to Chuck privately during breaks, do so, because he and his wife went over back forms and validated everything, and they found out that a tremendous percentage of the horses they have been putting in over the past year, they could eliminate, and that's the name of the game. So the man who is giving us this information is now set, ready to go, ready to articulate. Here is Tom Brougham.
Thank you so bad, Art. What we're going to do today, we're going to spend some time with the part-time chart and get familiar with the way the part-time chart is configured. We're going to evaluate some class changes within that part-time chart. I got a test for you today, a 10-question test. It's by the time we get to it, you should be able to handle it pretty easily. And if you can't, write down the answers and go back and do it. We're going to do a few races. We're going to start with a couple of races that were run on Friday. We're going to start with that, and we're going to start with that in, by way of review of the first session. Then we'll take a look at yesterday's, sometime during the day, we'll take a look at yesterday's first race. We won't bother with the second race because we kind of, by the time we were finished, we decided not to play that just because there were so many questions that could not be answered. As it turns out, you could get to the winner, but you could get to the winner with a whole lot of question marks on the racing form as to other horses you couldn't quite answer, and so we decided to pass that one. But we nailed the first race pretty well, and so we'll go through that as a group. This is the class that last time around, this is the class we did the Lands Manis Nevada Eon race, didn't we? And that turned out really well, because as you recall, we had four contenders in the race, two of which we had negatives on. One was Latash, because of his winning percentage, the other was Seize the Chance, being an older horse that had lost and was stepped up. Never enough to throw a horse out, ever, because if it comes up strongly on top, then you're going to want that horse if it comes up strong. But the two unqualified horses that we had were Nevada Eon, and as you recall, that was the one that was dropping from now winners of one to 20,000, which at first looks like a negative drop until you realize that the drop to 32 wouldn't have been a drop, so you got to drop the horse. And the other was Lands Manis. It did run well on the double rise. He just caught a horse coming down in class. With that in mind, I want you to look at Friday's racing form. A moment more of introduction before we do jump into this. The other thing we're going to do today, and it'll take us a while to do this, but we're going to learn first of all how to create the $10,000 par, a universal par, so that we can balance track to track. And I'll give you two of them. We'll create the one for Santa Anita so that we can balance these three racetracks, Santa Anita, Hollywood, and Golden Gate. And then after that, I'll give you the daily racing form variant that we'll be working with, and then I'll show you how to make use of that daily racing form variant. And that will take us some time. Now, yesterday's class, when we broke for lunch, Dick Schmidt afterwards said, "My God, we're in heavy water here," because there was a lot of blank looks and a lot of people that I thought had just kind of tuned out. When we came back from lunch, and I said, "How many people are completely lost?" And there were about a dozen to 15 hands. And we talked for a few minutes, and then we applied the material. And I assured them all the time that we were doing this, once you apply the material a few times, it would be very easy for you. And sure enough, everybody applied it successfully. I'm telling you that now because as we go through it, there'll be hair all over a lot of that material, and you're going to have to kind of weave your way through that, but it will turn out to be just fine when we're finished. So don't get too concerned. Just keep making notes so that you can go over it later. Friday's first race. This is a great example of what we're doing. It is just, there's a horse in this race that is the consensus horse with 17 points, picked on top by three of the five selectors, picked second by one, and only one had enough sense to drop the horse out of that. And that was Hermes, who I have a little more respect for after reading this. Florham Jack is poison, folks. He's poison. As it turns out, when you first look at the racing form, you think this horse is going to be 6-5 or 7-5 in here. Well, he was the favorite, but people were smart enough not to jump all over this guy. Now look at the pattern on this horse. On April 21st at Santa Anita against $20,000 horses, he goes wire to wire. That was the only speed in that race. I'm very familiar with that race because that was the biggest single bet I made at Santa Anita this year. It was. And I'll tell you for a fact, I was terrified in the last 16th of a mile. This guy was giving it up. Now take a look at his pattern. He drops two levels off that win from 20 to 12.5. Look at the workout line on this 27 days off. 27 days. In addition, this happens to be one of the very best claiming trainers Southern California has ever seen, Noble Threeway. This is a guy that absolutely knows where these horses belong. All right, now he's willing to take this bath on this horse, in effect. You know, and you can argue through it and say, well, they claimed him for 16, they won at 20, they drop him back to 12.5, maybe he gets claimed, maybe they get their money back. Well, that's fine for the owner, it's not fine for the bettor. That's the wrong logic to apply here. So now take a look at Florham Jack. This is the favorite in this race. Don't ever let this horse scare you out of the race. Just go after the race with both hands now. So now let's go back, by way of review, go through the horses in this race, establish contenders and pace lines. The rest of the session will be part-time charts, daily racing form variant, and then the third session, 2 weeks from now, we will apply everything we've done for the first two sessions and do almost all handicapping next time. We'll do some review next time, but it will be almost all handicapping. So be sure to have all the three forms again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll concentrate mainly on Sunday because it will not have run yet, but there may be good examples from Friday and Saturday for the same exercise. But we'll have 6 hours of handicapping together at that point and some review. All right, now take a look at this race, starting with the top horse, Journey Through Time. The first thing you got to decide is this horse a contender? Okay, he's been off since October 19th, so you got a layoff horse. Now evaluate the workout line just based on what we discussed last time. What do you think? Okay, it's a good workout line, right? Okay, now evaluate the horse itself. Well, now here's a horse that's been off how long? 6 months, and he's 1-for-19 in his last 19 starts. And it was basically against this level. Weren't his last 7 or 8 starts against this level? Okay, so where's the advantage to this horse? There isn't any, right? He couldn't handle this kind of horse before his layoff. So, I mean, if the horse has talent, it has the workout line, you might give a lot of consideration to this horse. Okay, but don't use him. Another question for all of you. Have you been keeping up your profiles? Okay. This is a sprint. What kind of horse are you looking for in sprints out here right now?
My profile turned out to be an even distribution between sustained, presser, and early.
Okay. What about yours?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Does anybody have a preference? Now, what I'd suggest now is
there is not a strong bias in the sprints. Okay? Yeah, there isn't. But there is one, for me, on my profile, there's one letter of the ESP that I get more often than the others. Presser. And in my own profile, if you've got the best horse, you can win from behind. So it's not a big anti-closer's bias.
Yeah, I got 18 early, 16 presser, and 16 sustained.
How many sustained?
16.
I probably have 6 or 7 sustained in that whole period. Yeah. 6, 7, 8 sustained. Just enough to tell me that I can't throw them out. Are we evaluating? Let's make sure we're together on this before we go any further, because I'd hate to have you. How many others think that this is balanced between sustained and presser? How many think it is balanced between sustained and presser? All right, let's take a look. Are you dating these days that you're writing these things in? Go back up to 5.11. We'll just go back up a week.
Most of my sustained horses, here's one, 7 lengths back the first call.
Fine, I have two. That must be on 5.13. 7 horses, 7 furlongs, 12 horses.
No, this happens to be 7 horses. But then I got another sustained 5.2 back the first call. Another sustained is, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
8 horses in the race. He was 4th at the first call, 5 lengths back.
That's a closer.
That's what I called it.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find one that might be close.
God, I wish you'd have dated this. If somebody with some dates in here, just pick up a spot to start. Yeah. You got a date. What date do you want to start here?
5.11 was a good time to start.
All right, 5.11 is a good time to start. 5.11, the first front of the day. 7 furlongs. 12 starters, 8x6, 4x4. Is that your data? Closer, right? Okay. Somebody please log these so we'll have a total when we're finished. Because what I don't want you to think, this track is not balanced equally between presses and closes. The next race, six furlongs, 8 horses. 3rd 1/2, 4th 1/4. Call length. 3rd 1/2, 4th 1/4. That's pressing. That's a pressing.
3rd by 1/2?
3rd by 1/2, that's pressing. That horse is in contending for the lead.
Okay, okay.
Okay, 4th by 1/2 at the second call. 6.5 furlongs, 9 horses. 5th by 2.5, 3rd by 1.
That's a presser.
That's a presser. 7th furlong, 6 horses. 4th by 3.5, 4th by 2. That's presser slash closer. That's that week could go either way. Because a horse is close enough to be pressing to pace them. Did you pay any attention to the speed of some of these races you were looking at?
Yeah.
Because if the pace is really slow, that could be called a closer. If the pace is really fast, that's still a presser. 7 furlongs. I'm sorry, we just got that one. 5.12. 8 horse field. 2nd by 1, 2nd 1/2, that's a presser.
What were the numbers again?
2nd by 1, 2nd 1/2. Obviously, you don't have this material.
I don't have my shit profiles.
Next race, 7 furlongs. First a half, early. Next race, 6 furlongs. 2nd by 2, 2nd ahead. Presser.
Yeah.
6 furlongs. 1st ahead, 1st 1/2, early.
I wish I could get in the sink with you. I unfortunately didn't date these.
5.13. All right, this is 7 furlongs, a 12 horse field. First call, 9th by 7. 8th by 3. Close. That's a stake. Have you got that one?
Well, I got one that looks like. Is the next one 11 horses?
Next one is 7 horses, then 11.
Are you putting maidens in?
Yeah, I got maidens in here.
Oh, I didn't put maidens
out there. Well, okay. Now, let me tell you about maidens. As far as
throwing maidens out, that's your call. But you'll find that the running style in the maiden races, the energy might be screwed up, but the running style will be the same. There won't be any difference in a running style. All right. Now, let me read to you the designate. Whoever's keeping this stroke tally, let me read to you the rest of the designations that I've got on this particular model. And then maybe we should reconsider some of our how we're calling these things. From here on, presser, 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 presser. Closer, presser, early, closer. Early, closer, presser, early, presser, presser, closer. Now, maybe we're designating these a little differently. But I got to tell you, the last couple of days, we're going to wind up on a horse in this first race called Emigrant Gap, which is clearly a presser. We're going to give the edge to him because he's a presser. We're going to wind up with a horse called Racy Gracie, or one of the horses that we're going to lean toward in yesterday's first race is Racy Gracie, based on the fact that she's a presser. And you'll find, I think, that if you kind of lean toward the pressers and horses with speed, you're going to be all right. Going to be a lot better shape than if you're taking them without bias. Because I think we're going to disagree, and probably a lot of it is that you're getting horses. Remember, it's not only the lengths behind, it's where they are in the race. But judge it by the pace of the race, too. If a horse is 4-3 lengths behind against a slow pace, you might consider that horse to be a closer. fourth by three against a fast pace, that horse is pressing because he's running fast. So give some thought to that. As far as your own data is concerned, see, the difference between you and I right now is that I'm keying in on pressers. Pressers more, I'm giving the edge to pressers right now in the sprint. Well, you're not giving the edge to anybody, so I've got a little more channeled vision. And that's the whole reason for this. For those of you that are calling this race to these races to pressers, you're channeled a little more in terms of your direction. And that's a big plus out here.
In an 11 horse field, fifth by two and fourth by two, you call that a
presser.
Maybe after, at the break, maybe you could just look through my 6-1.
I will. Definitely will, because it's worth it. It's worth it to have an accurate call in this track. Now, the.
When we were here last time, sure enough, three horses from the rail won that day. Okay. Anybody watch your replays that night? Two of them circled the field to win, though. Two of them. This, the anti-inside is still there. It's maybe not, it's not poison, but nevertheless, unless you've got much the best horse, you do not want to be on the inside here. Or unless you're the kind of horse that's going to sweep the field. Okay. Journey Through Time, we did not make a contender. What about Aaron Wes? Can anybody in here make a case for Aaron Wes? No. And don't try. Just eliminate this kind of a horse summarily. Just get rid of him and go to the next one. MacArthur Face. Is this a contender or not? There was a lot of discussion about this horse yesterday. How many people handicapped this race Friday? Good. Then you'll have a feel for it. How many people will want MacArthur Face as a contender in this race? To make it part of the computer. I just forced him in there to put him in a computer. Okay. I made this horse a contender. I made him a contender. All right. And the reason, let's take a look at the last race now. The horse does not meet the up-close guidelines in the race, right? And yet, in a 12-horse field, he finishes third, which may or may not be meaningful. Take a look at the speed of that race. 110 flat, right? Now, this horse finished third in a 12-horse field off of a year-and-a-half layoff. Now, the fact that he wasn't able to get quite up close is partly reflective of the speed of that race. And 110 at Santa Anita, I don't have to tell you, 110 at Santa Anita was really fast this year. So MacArthur Face is a contender in this race. Now, he's marginal because it's hard to pick up. You don't want to go back to 88 to pick a pace line, so you kind of live with his last race, but you have to give him some kind of chance in this race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should be solid from the comeback.
Right? You're right, he should not bounce off that.
What?
I really do, truly do. The bounce,
but not the same one that Thoragraph and the Ragazin Sheets. See, their theory of a bounce is that if a horse does too well this time, he'll bounce off that or regress off that. Now, in part, that's true. You only have one personal best, right? No matter what it is, you've done it best one time. That's why it's your personal best. So once you do that, chances are you're going to regress off that a little. But you're not going to fall apart off that. You're probably at a new level. Well, see, their theory is that if you do your personal best, or even your best within the last couple of years, you're going to regress off that. Well, they're right, but how do you measure the regression? So, I mean, you still might run very close to that figure. I think the real definition of the bounce is just an athlete that hasn't done anything for a long period of time and now does too much. You know, I mean, a tennis player, a golfer, anybody that hasn't played in a long time that comes out and really extends himself or herself first time out is going to be muscle sore afterward. You've all been that way. And that's the real bounce pattern. And if they've had enough time to recover after that, then it's not really an issue. But there is a definite bounce pattern working. No, because this horse wasn't life and death in here. I mean, suppose you're the rider, right? You're 5, 6, 7 lengths behind. You're just running along, and you're running pretty well, but you're not threatening anybody. The guy's not hitting the hell out of this horse. And he's had 28 days after that, or 27 days, I think, is what Claudia said. Yes.
It depends on
the animal. It depends on you. I mean, you just have to kind of judge it. Give it plenty of time, that's all. But you have to, first of all, have to judge how taxing that might have been. See, if this horse is in a life-and-death effort in its first start off of a year and a half, I wouldn't bet it next time. especially if the figure was good. I'd look for the time after that, because it does happen. I mean, you cannot get around it. It happens. But the bounce theory that you hear from these, from the sheets and the rest of those, that's not the same thing. They're just saying that you only attain your personal best once, which is true. But then they're saying you fall in the toilet after that, which is not true. So now, the next horse. This is one we spent a little time with, too. Fleeting Ben. But we won't spend any time with this one. Fleeting Ben, is this a contender or not?
Yes.
All right, now remember, this horse has been off 34 days. What's he got in the meantime? One, and it's an important work if you read your the reading assignment. Okay, it's a 5-furlong work, and it's just recent. Now, for me, that's kind of a negative. Isn't that for you? I mean, 35 days, one workout?